Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.
Nou, ons het vroeger dus lekker gesels oor die lugvaartbedrijf. En hoe werk het as jy nou beplan vir jou December vakantie? Jy weet, as jy enigszins gewaarborg om te sê, as ek nou Durban te vlieg, of as ek nou Kaap te vlieg, of George, of waar ook al, jy weet, as ek gewaarborg om te sê, ek gaan my bestemming bereik op die tyd wat ek moet bereik en soan. Nou kyk, daar is so een ding wat die mens nou noem delay. Jy weet, as daar nou technische uitdagings of so iets soos dit. Maar wat doen jy as daar weersomstandighede nou te rof is en jou vlug word heeltemal gekanselleer en sulke tipe goed? Wat doen jy dan? So, ek gaan nie probeer slim klinkie. We've got die mense wat weet hoe van hierdie goeders, hoe dit werk. Kirby Gordon joins us, Fly Safair Chief Marketing Officer this morning. Kirby, firstly, are you well this morning?
I am. Thank you. Thanks. I hope you guys are too.
Yeah, oh, we're enjoying it. A lovely rain we had last night.
We don't mind if it rains. I'm not a commercial pilot.
Kirby, let's start off. Firstly, before we get to the challenges with ATNS and so on, Fly Safair has been in the news recently regarding their future operations, regarding shareholding percentages, etc., threatening to ground the operations going forward. Could you maybe just clarify and give us a little bit more info on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is a matter that has obviously been going on for a little while now and has been in discussion for a while. And I mean, I think ultimately the reality is that our commitment and our intent is always to be completely transparent and, of course, completely compliant to all of the law that's at hand. So just to give you a very brief overview, it's got to do with a nationality provision, which is in terms depends on how much foreign involvement there can be in an airline. And at the moment, there has been some feedback back from the International Air Services Licensing Council. So that affects our international license, international flights only, which is only about 4% of what we fly. And so there's some back and forth on that front. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, we're in ongoing conversations with all the parties. There's a process that's at play. And you know, we're confident that we'll find the resolution that makes sense. Mm.
I suppose the obvious question would be for anybody that has made reservations for December, January going forward, should they be concerned at all?
No, absolutely not if you've got a domestic reservation, because that's completely outside of the scope of all of this. But if you have an international one, look, I mean, I can never say absolutely nothing will ever happen. I mean, I can probably never say that across the board ever. I'm an honest guy, so I'm not going to tell you that nothing will ever. We'll talk about ATNS in a second.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we foresee very little opportunity for operations disruptions. And if that does happen, you know, we're a good, honest company, and we'll do right by the people involved. So, you know, we'll handle it, but it's very unlikely.
All right. I think what we're going to do, because before I dive into ATNS, because it's there's a lot of things that we need to discuss.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.
Nou goed, lugvaart in Suid-Afrika, hoe alles werk en is jy enigszins gewaarborg daarvan om jou bestemming te bereik? Jy weet, as jy plaaslik sommers vlieg. And we've got Kirby Gordon joining us, Fly Safair Chief Marketing Officer. Kirby, just another thing. We went to George. We flew down to George, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Name was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, we flew down. And me being aware of what's going on, when we had to come back, there was a lot of weather at George Airport that was in the forecast. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, am I going to be on time for the radio show on Monday morning? Luckily, we took off just before the weather came in, and we're so thankful for that. But let's just get into it. Challenges with ATNS services in South Africa currently. Maybe we should just explain ATNS. Who is ATNS and what do they do?
Yeah, awesome. And let's start at the beginning, because the stuff is quite complex. So it's great to go in from that perspective. So ATNS is air traffic services. So we always think of air traffic services as the guys that sit up in the tower that direct the traffic and pull the planes in, which they very much are. But they actually have another role in aviation as well. And that is that they are required to design standard procedures for takeoffs, departures, and navigation for different types of aircraft at the different airports under different weather conditions. And so we've actually got a, like a, you can almost imagine like a filing cabinet where each drawer will be for a different type of airplane, and inside it are different cards that are all related to, all right, you need to take off of runway 21 at OR Tambo, and the wind is pumping from a northwesterly direction at this kind of speed. This is the standard procedure that you need to operate. You need to take off this fast, climb this fast, depart in that direction, and then turn to the left, you know. So that's a big part of the work that they do as well.
So I've got to ask you, Kirby, the challenges with delays, for example, with air travel. Because remember, I'm a passenger. I have absolutely no idea what the technical aspects of this is. So when I sit on the airport and I just hear, listen, flight XYZ was delayed, how am I as a passenger supposed to know like what those challenges are?
Right. And I mean, I think that's exactly why the conversations that we're having now, particularly with regard to the fact that we're facing issues with the likes of ATNS, are so valuable, is to try and get that kind of information out. Because what we don't want is any misunderstanding about what it is that people are concerned around something that doesn't exist. So the challenge that we're facing at the moment with these ATNS procedures is number of those little car keys in that filing cabinet have lapsed. They've got to be approved by the Civil Aviation Authority. They need to be checked. They need to be audited on a regular basis, and they've lapsed. They've forfall. So what happens now is that they're suspended, which means that we cannot operate those procedures in those circumstances. So now they're holes in our filing cabinet. And George is a great example. When the visibility is bad in George, and you can't, you need to rely on instrument guidance rather than just the pilot's eyes to see where to land, that procedure that would be in place is now no longer legal. So we can't operate it, which means we just can't fly into that environment.
I think, Kirby, let's just explain that briefly again. Let's just stand still there for a second. Let's talk about an ILS system, for instance. Maybe just explain to us what exactly is that, and also which airports are mainly affected by this instrument landing systems.
Yeah, so instrument landing systems on ILS is exactly that. So, I mean, it's, you know, aircraft are, I always say aviation is incredible because it's sort of well ahead of the game, which is incredible. So, I mean, aircraft obviously have had autopilots and instrument landing systems and all kinds of things that Elon Musk is only just figuring out now in cars when it comes to autonomous driving. I joke, he's got spaceships, you know, I mustn't take that away from him. But, but you know, those things are fantastic systems and guidance systems that exist for aircraft around the country, and they help pilots to find landings and takeoffs and directions in generally conditions of poor visibility, nighttime conditions, that sort of thing. And so they are part of what is impacted by these procedures, is those instrument landing systems. And the airports that are largely affected, look, the reality is there was a list of over 400 different procedures that had lapsed. ATNS is working very proactively through that list. Obviously, not all of them affect scheduled operation. A lot of them would be for like smaller light aircraft, for example. So the ones that really impact us and our operations and the operations that, you know, the traveling public are most likely to experience would be conditions of poor weather in and out of George and East London. There were some at OR Tambo with regard to wind from a certain direction, and there was one at Cape Town. Fortunately, the OR Tambo and the Cape Town ones got top priority and were resolved quite quickly. So those now are checked off the list, which is good news. But we're still waiting for that tick mark on the George, and we're still waiting for the tick mark on the West London ones.
Right. So now, let's say I'm a passenger now. So now I'm flying. I mean, I know that pilots does extensive planning before they even take off to know exactly what the weather's going to be like at the departure aerodrome, en route, and then also at the destination airport. But I mean, things can change. And let's say you're flying now and it's just beyond the limits for the aircraft to land manually. Let's say George or East London in this case, and the ILS is not working, and a pilot decides for safety reasons they have to divert or whatever the case might be. What should we be as a passenger, what should we be prepared for? What do we do in a case like that?
So there's really nothing for you to do other than to strap in and enjoy the ride, because that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, the reality is diversions are a very standard and regulated part of our planning. So when you plan for a trip, you're dead right. The pilot obviously plans, you know, in terms of fuel and everything that he needs, or she needs to get from A to B, but then they need to plan for their diversion to C and then actually an alternate diversion to D. So you've got two different places that you know you can go if you need to at any point. And those also change along the way, because if you're closer to your departure, your endpoint, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, there's lots of considerations in all that planning, and it's all very carefully looked after. And the reality is, look, our main aim, our ultimate aim is to get you to where you need to be, if possible. So if we need to divert, you know, and land and say you were headed to Georgia and you end up in PE, you know, we might touch down in PE, grab some fuel, wait for the weather to clear, and then try to get you back to George, if that's going to be a reality. Sometimes the weather in that part of the world, I grew up there, it moves in and it stays, you know, it's like your mother-in-law, but you've got to be careful about what to do there. But ultimately we want to get you to where you need to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So lastly, before we let you go, another thing is, let's say we're flying from Georgia. We need to catch a connecting flight. Let's say in this case, for example, we need to go to Dubai or whatever. And because of the weather that's playing a role in George, the pilot decides it's not safe to take off, and we are grounded for, let's say, 2 or 3 hours. Now we miss a connecting flight. Who can be held liable for something like that?
So this is actually really important stuff, because what this comes down to is how you booked. So the best advice is, if you are connecting, so let's say you live in Georgia or in East London or PE, and you want to try and fly out to Dubai via Joburg, the very best bet when you're doing that kind of booking is to book your full journey through your international airline. So we have what we call in the aviation game these interline relationships with all of the big players. So you would then book a flight with, let's say, Emirates, for example, and you would fly George Joburg on a Flysaf Air flight, but you book the whole thing through Emirates and then onwards with Emirates. In that case, your journey is protected because you booked it as one thing. So you booked it through Emirates, and Emirates will say, listen, we understand that your connecting flight from George was delayed. We put you on the next one. You're good to go. So that's number one bit of advice, is to book that way. If for some reason you don't want to book it that way, get your travel insurance in place to be able to cover you for that. Because if you book a journey with the two airlines as separate contracts, two separate things, then as far as we're concerned, you know, the liability is just to get you from A to B, as it is for anybody else. The onward journeys, there's no liability on us from that perspective. Sure. You know, we've just got to do the kind of basic, but or any other airline for that matter. So the advice there is, A, number one, if you can book it all with that, you know, on one travel ticket with that big international airline. If not, be conservative with your timing in terms of your connecting time, and definitely take that travel insurance. Great. There's a lot of it on your credit card, and a lot of credit cards will let you upgrade it as well.
Fantastic advice. Thank you so much. Kirby Gordon, FlySafe Air Chief Marketing Officer, thank you so much for clarifying that. And I think we are educated now. We know more or less what to expect for the December holidays. We appreciate your time this morning.
Cool, guys. Happy Friday and happy holidays.
Have a good one. Cheers,
Thank you so much, Kirby.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah. All right, so is it now? So, beplan jou reis. So wat December beter, en maak seker jy weet wat jy kan doen en wat jy nie kan doen nie. Maar ek het nie daai laaste stuk.
Ek wil dat jy vyf woorde uit my mond uit, ek het dit nie geweet nie.
Baie interessant.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.